everybody, and welcome back to the Line of Vienna Suite podcast, episode 113. My name is Will Jones, and joining me tonight is a very special guest indeed, all the way from London. It's Thogden.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much for having me on for a start. Really appreciate it. Hope we can just talk about some stuff. And lots been going on at the moment, hasn't it?
It has indeed. It has, and it's great to have you on.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for coming on. It's a pleasure to finally get the opportunity to speak to you, because you know I know how busy you must be with one thing and another, and I know you're wanting to get off and watch the derby, so we'll get through as much as we can as openly as possible.
Yeah.
So let's go all the way back to 2008 to begin with, where your fame to an extent began. Not in the most gracious of circumstances, but nonetheless, of all places, in Madrid before the Atletico game. For those who don't know, just tell us about that and some of what you can remember for it.
Well, I mean, it's one of my earliest football memories as a Bolton fan, and it was just, it's great that you started off like this. Some really positive, you know, memories at Bolton. Mm-hmm. It's great. Flying out, it was my half term, right? I think I was 7 or 8 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my, it was one of my earliest Bolton memories, I think. I think back to it, it's one of those that I'll never forget. You know, flying out of my half term, you know, with the family to Madrid, you know, just thinking it's just like a normal family holiday, right? And then in the middle of that, getting the opportunity, well, for a start, that was a crazy day. I don't know, some Bolton fans may know what happened, some may not, but pretty much on the day of the Atletico Madrid game, I like cut my head open because I was like bouncing a ball, and I split my head open as the ball bounced up. And then later that day, I had to go straight to the hospital. I was rushed to the hospital. I was losing blood every second. And then later that day, I still went to the Bolton match in the away end. I was getting like on the way there on the train, I was getting like sweets and like different stuff from Madrid locals, because I had this stitch, like this fresh stitch on my head. It was like yellow and red. And I got in like after that, you know, obviously it was a 0-0 game, but we won the first game 1-0. So overall we went through, and that was really nice. But it was what I can also remember, like it kicked off. Like, I don't know if you were there or you remember it or you watched it on telly or you heard about it. Mm. It properly kicked off between the Bolton fans and the Atletico fans before the game, and police actually. Yeah.
Crazy. It was just incredible. So obviously, I've seen the articles and stuff like that on it, and it's you know, incredible that you still managed to make the game after all that as well. So
I know, yeah.
Credit to you for that as well.
I was never going to miss it. I was never going to not go to that game, because you know
you could have gone all the way out there and then not go.
yeah. Like, sorry, what do you say?
I just said you couldn't go all the way out there and then not go to the game.
That's what I mean. We literally based it on that game. You know, my mum wanted me to stay at home, but of course, Thogden, he wanted me to go. So we ended up going, and a great decision. Honestly, yeah. I would have been distraught for the rest of the week if I didn't go to that game, especially knowing that we went through, you know. Yeah, amazing. Great memories.
Great stuff, yeah. It's fascinating to hear sort of all of the fact that you can remember so much from it. I thought you'd have been going unconscious at the time, but
I'm memory surprised I could as well. Like, I remember the moment I literally cut my head open. It's one of those weird situations where I did actually hurt myself pretty badly, but still remember everything. It would have been the worst situation ever if that all happened and I'd forgot it all, but it's all good.
so obviously from then you've gone from strength to strength, really, unlike Bolton, who've done the complete opposite. But obviously you've sort of used it to your advantage, I guess, and taken it upon yourself to document it all and sort of reveal to the world what it's actually like to be a Bolton fan.
It's very up and down, let's put it that way. I think for we've all seen, like, in my lifetime, right, I've recently turned 18. It's been a complete decline from when I was, from, you know, my first memories of Bolton until now. Being able to document it is great, but we've literally only seen one positive season recently, and that was in League One when we went, you know. So, like, it's like there's been some great games, some great memories in that year, but there hasn't been so many positives to document. But then again, with football, you know, there's the highs and the lows, and you've got to keep supporting your team through it. There's nothing you can do about it, and hopefully next year, you know, next year we can have a similar year to what we had last time. Who knows, man? Like, do you think we'll have another year like that?
It's hard to tell, really. I mean, obviously, based on the performance we've been putting out this year and sort of the insecurity of it all, I'm not sure whether we'll be able to bounce straight back up again. I think we'd do well to do that, but you know, I think it's all up in the air at the minute, especially whilst the takeover is, it seems to still be hanging in the balance somehow.
Seriously?
I don't think he's had the formal approval yet from the EFL, so we're still waiting on that to all go through. But yeah, obviously he's been there the last two games, but we're just hoping that it'll all get sorted, really. So
yeah, hopefully.
But yeah, obviously you've just got more than 100k subs on YouTube now. Yeah. It's quite a following, and sort of averaging more than that on each video as well.
Yeah.
Sort of, how surreal is that for you to sort of been getting these numbers through with
it? Honestly, it's amazing, and it's something I've got a passion for, and I'm just so thankful to be able to do something that I actually enjoy. And And to see how many people that have subscribed to my channel over the years and viewed my videos and liked it and just said nice comments is genuinely incredible. I'm so lucky to be in this position, to be able to make content, to be able to support my team and make videos at those games. Mm. And people still enjoy my videos through the highs and the lows. You know, it's great. I'm in a really special position. I do appreciate every single person that watched the video, liked it, whatever. Seriously, it's great.
No, of course, you're sort of our sort of representative now, almost. You know, you're making these appearances here and everywhere. So,
that's it, really. And so are you guys. You know, and obviously you're writing for Line of Vienna, so it's like you get to do something you're passionate for as well.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We both can, you know, sort of understand that, you know.
Yeah, no, it's great to just sort of have this platform to reach out to people and be able to sort of put our story across and get across what's actually happening, because as we know how sort of ignorant to an extent the media can be, and to be able to put out our own sort of uncensored versions of that is a great freedom to have, really.
Yeah, but, I remember when I think it was the most recent time we went to court. Mm. Was it you who was there?
It was, yeah.
Oh, brilliant, mate. I was following along with it.
Yeah.
On your posts, and how was that?
Yeah, it was a bit weird actually, because I'd never been before. Obviously, the first time round, it was sort of something which I didn't expect or know what to expect at all. Gone along with Ian, who's a sort of in-house expert on that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was all a bit weird and frantic, and the fact that, you know, I was sort of in your shoes for a minute, you know, and they're sort of having the world follow these tweets. It was. Yeah.
The numbers you got on those tweets was mental. Like, everyone was watching you to keep up with what was going on.
Yeah.
Literally everyone. And like, and not only that, you said in one of your tweets that like you saw like a potential owner or something, was that something online?
So basically, Hillary had been speaking to someone whilst they were running through the cases.
Yeah.
I think it may have just been a colleague or something like that, because she was speaking to someone at the front, and then from what I heard from another guy from TalkSport who was there, he was stood at the back, and basically had literally just come in just as the case had started, and it only lasted about 30 seconds, something like that, and before it had even finished, it disappeared again.
Oh, really?
I couldn't validate that. I didn't see him at all, but that's from what I understood, that's what happened. So,
I see, right, okay.
Yeah, but it was a bit mental, the fact that he did supposedly turn up and just, you know, be there for 30 seconds. Obviously shows an interest, an active interest at least, and the fact that he's then gone through with it and completed the whole thing is great. So
yeah, of course, it's great to see. And I know he's had a pretty poor track history, you know, we'll all admit that, but I think we've got to give him a chance. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to give the geezer a chance, you know? Like, he said he's got the money. He's proved his funds, I think. That's what I heard. So, you know, why not? Like, it's better we just, firstly, avoid getting liquidated by, you know, moving it on. Mm. And hopefully EFL soon will accept him and just be like, all right, we'll give you another chance. And I think in the situation we're in, I think it's good we let him take over, to be honest. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely better than the other alternative, like you say, which was liquidation and keeping sort of the Andersons in for any longer. Obviously not an ideal scenario. I just sort of wonder what your thoughts were on that whole sort of regime and what sort of, to an extent, if any, you know, loyalty did you show towards them, or, you know, how keen were you to get rid of them?
The thing is, Lee and when they first bought the club, right?
Mm.
I've not actually mentioned this before, but he actually tweeted me saying, before he even bought the club, literally saying like, oh, I want to get you involved. I want you, like, he actually saw me on a sponsor. I sponsored a little video on Twitter
right.
to a few people. And because I live in London, it kind of went out to the people near me.
Yeah.
And I think he picked up on it, Lee. And he sent me a message. Look, I want to do some work. I want to get you involved. And he told me that he's on the verge of buying the club. which he then went on to do. And he wants me to be involved and kind of, you know, help the morale get up. And I thought it was really nice of him. He gave me a good opportunity. And that led on to him helping me out with the club, like dealing with problems. Like there was a few times when I couldn't get my camera into games because of the stewards, and he helped me out with that. He literally came to the entrance and helped me. What I'm trying to say is he has helped me a lot at the beginning, but what comes first, the club, and the way his dad dealt with the finances, I just thought was poor.
Yeah.
And I've tweeted out, I've said, like, the thing is, they have been nice to me, you know, they invited me to the training ground, and they let me do some videos with the players, and I'm so thankful to have that, you know, chance to, you know, kick a ball around with Medine and, like, and Lafondra as well. And, like, there was one, like, blindfold penalty that we did that Gary Medine was, like, pranking me, picking up the ball and stuff like that, and it was hilarious. And I never would have had that chance if it weren't for Leanderson. And to be honest, right, the way they've run the club is shocking. And that comes first. And for that reason, I think it's good that we've had a change of ownership. And financially, I'm just hoping that the players and the staff can be paid on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because the way they treated it was a joke, to be honest.
Yeah, no, like, of course.
If you have money in your bank account and the staff need to be paid, you pay it. And he was stopping putting money in the club because of some parody account on Twitter, literally. Remember when he said that on his...
Yeah, I do. I remember that, yeah.
I think that's a disgrace.
Those chairman's notes were just laughable, weren't they?
Oh God, all of them. That is something that was really poor. For a start, I don't know why he made so many chairman's notes so often.
Yeah.
If he thinks that keeping in contact with the club is putting stuff like that out, it's not going to help.
Yeah.
It's just going to make things worse and make people more angry, and it did.
Because I don't know if you know from back in the day, obviously the fans were sort of crying out for some communication between the fans and the owners, and then obviously when Kane came in, he sort of vowed to keep that up, and I just don't think it was to that extent that's what we expected. Almost it was almost too much, and I think there was obviously the term of, you know, hanging out your dirty laundry was thrown around quite a bit, and you know, it's just knowing what to keep behind closed doors and in the boardroom as opposed to sticking out online for everyone to see. You just gotta be selective with that, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, before the Andersons, we never had statements like that. And we suddenly went to having loads, and I don't think he really understood the point of what the fans were trying to say. It was more the fact that we had such little information about what was going on, and now he's just trying to use them to make up excuses why it's never his fault. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just the different sort of thing that as fans, we were asking for. So, like I said, like Bassini, I say we give him a chance. We'll find out in the coming weeks whether he has the money to pay the players and the staff. If he doesn't, then we're going to have problems, simple as that. But we have no other option, right? Like, we're actually coming to a point where we need someone to come in with the money, or we're going to have liquidation. And that's the situation. So it's not easy, really.
Yeah, no, of course. But it's obviously been a tough journey for us, but we've managed to get through it. So let's hope it's the start of things to come. But just... So touching on that, and obviously the fact that you've been given these opportunities via the club outlets and so on, and you've had these endless opportunities, and, you know, obviously coming with that as sort of a club representative, you're obviously going to have your fair share of critics, as we sort of all have to an extent. And, you know, just to play devil's advocate for a minute, there's been some question of, you know, your loyalty and going out and filming other games, and personally, you know, I can understand how important it is to widen your audience and so on.
Yeah. But
I can sort of see almost as well how Bolton fans will take it as maybe you outgrowing us and stuff like that. And I just wondered, I just sort of wanted to let you have your own say on that and how you want to respond to that, really.
Yeah, well, I mean, I appreciate you giving me the chance to talk about this.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, through my family, used to live near that, I've always been a Bolton fan, you know, because my granddad, he's been the vlogs, because of my dad, like all down the line, we've been Bolton fans. But, you know, going to a home game is a 500-mile round trip. And I don't think a lot of the fans that watch my videos are quite new to my channel actually realise that. Because I know I document going on the train. I know I document going on buses and coaches and in the car. But they don't really know where from. And it is from London. It is a long way to get home and away every week. But we still do the travel. Mm. But especially a lot more recently, I've had... maybe I've gone to a few Spurs games and Arsenal, but that sort of videos are just for content, really. Mm. They're just to get more content out on my channel because, you know, right now with Bolton, it's not all great, is it?
But no, it's not, you know, you can only put so much of it out, can't you?
Yeah, that's, look, it's, I mean, look, you see our attendances, you know, a lot of our own fans are not even going to the games, you know, like, attendance recently have been very poor. And I've got to give credit to all the Bolton fans that have still been going to games, but it's not easy to go watch us. You know what I mean? They're not being paid. Like, recently they haven't been paid when we've gone to watch them. And it's you're watching a group of players that are very demoralised. They haven't been paid, neither had the staff. And with our recent results and how we've been as a club recently, there's no motivation to go watch us play. Of course, as a fan, it's still your job. You know, once in, never out. You've still got to go to the games. Cool. And that's what we do. So, the other sort of videos, the other clubs' videos, are literally just for content on my channel. So I just go to other games so other fan bases can watch my videos and they can subscribe if they want. It's not like I'm a fan of any other team. My second team, I mean, I don't really have a second team, but if I had to pick one, it would be Zenit, St. Petersburg, because that's where my mum's from. And I follow Russia, but nowhere near to the extent of England. You know what I mean?
So I get that.
That's it, really. That's the only reason I go to those games. And a lot of the time, there won't be a Bolton game on. So it's just like, if I get offered a ticket from a friend who goes to my school and has a spare season ticket, I'm not going to say no. I don't think anyone would. Do you know what I mean?
No, I get that. They're not going to turn it down, are they? And especially with them being local to you as well. So,
Of course, it's easier to get there as well, but...
Yeah, but I can appreciate the loyalty and the travel that you do to get up to the Bolton games, both home and away. So
I appreciate that.
It's great, and I know that a lot of people take it upon themselves to sort of question that and have a go at you just for doing your own thing, really. And
yeah, of course. Yeah,
it just depends on how you sort of view it, I guess. But there's always two sides to every story, I guess. So
exactly, yeah.
Just sort of speaking of branching out and widening your audience, you've obviously been rewarded with that, with an appearance on the Lions Den in summer back over in Russia. You got to speak to a couple of England players, I believe. What was your highlights from that?
Yeah.
And sort of what can you recall from it?
Oh, I mean, going out to Russia for the World Cup supporting England was amazing. Probably my favourite trip ever, along with the Madrid trip, which I said before in videos was my favourite. Them two have been incredible because it's always great having football related. You know, it's my passion. I can make videos on it and it's something that I really enjoy. Yeah. But also going to watch England in Russia, a country where, you know, half my family, my mum's side of my family is from. So, you know, we've stayed with my grandma. It's really nice to see my Russian grandma who lives in St. Petersburg. We stayed with her when we were there, right? To incorporate all like family, football, it's just like everything I love in one place. And to see England do so successfully in all the games that I went to was also so great. I mean, as you know, I've only lived 18 years. You've lived how many years? You're
19.
Older than me, aren't
you? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so you've seen England pretty poor, like, over the years.
Yeah.
And even when I was a little younger, like, we never really got the expectations we expected, right? But now, you know, getting the semi-finals at World Cup is very special. And I know we lost in that Croatia game, but when that Trippier goal went in, it was just so amazing, honestly.
Yeah.
So going to Russia was incredible. And, you know, I was in contact with the Lions Den guys, the England channel, and they basically told me about the opportunity that I could get on their video to do meet with Craig Mitch and do like a little video with them in Moscow. And so I got that opportunity and I went over there and I got in their video and I, you know, they asked me about the games and then they were like, they actually wrote to my dad. They didn't. I never knew about this.
Yeah. Right?
They wrote to my FA. Wrote to my dad saying, Craig Mitch, the guy, the presenter, is going to be with Jesse Lingard in the Lions Den, and they want to invite you on." So my dad never told me. I literally got a call. My dad gave me the phone. I went on there. It's Jesse Lingard FaceTiming me from the FA number, and I was just like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah.
So Jesse, I opened the phone. Jesse's on there. He's like, "Oh, you're right." They start asking me about like what the games is, what it's been like, and they were talking about like my vlogs and stuff. And then they were like, "What game do you not have tickets for?" I said England, Belgium, and Jesse was just like, "All right, we'll get you two tickets sorted." And I was just like, "That's incredible, man!" I was honestly so thankful for like, yeah, it was honestly surreal. Looking back on it, I don't actually understand like to an extent like how mad that was. It was special, yeah.
That was a brilliant opportunity. Obviously, you seen it in the flesh and everything. We were all back at home supporting from the pubs and whatever. It was great to see.
I mean, I came back for the England-Sweden game and I watched it in my local pub, which is the same pub I'm going tonight to watch the Manchester Derby, right?
Mm.
It's the atmosphere in every pub around England must have been incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the same in the stadium with the England fan area, which I was in. Yeah,
no, it must have been great. And obviously, you know, you mentioned your dad there as well. He'd sort of been your mentor along the way, and obviously see him, you know, being your right-hand man whilst you're recording and stuff like that, yeah. And giving you tips and what have you. You know, yeah. He's obviously been pretty influential in it all, and sort of how supportive is it, has he been along the way?
Well, I mean, it's great to have a dad that's supportive of having this channel. Ever since I made my first Bolton vlog, Eastleigh away, when we had that terrible season in the Championship, right, and we had that cup game, that was my first vlog. He's always been supportive. He's always said, keep going. He's never told me to stop or whatever. He's always pushed me on and motivated me, and going to Bolton games with my dad is something that I did before that, and I still do, and I'm so pleased to be able to, you know, make videos as well. It's an incredible situation, and I'm so thankful that not only is he happy to be in my videos, but he's also so supportive of it. So it's great to have him alongside me, yeah. I've always gone to games with him, you know. It's just one of those things.
It's great, yeah.
DNA.
I remember seeing you briefly whilst we were doing the protest and whatever, and you being outside and and keeping it up with it all, and your dad being there as well, just telling which bits to film, whatever. And
I took a day off school for that.
That's not too fair, yeah. It became quite a big thing, didn't it, really? And, you know, obviously can't take responsibility for the fact that Ken's now gone because of that or anything, but obviously made quite an impact. And there was about, what, between 2,000 and 3,000 people there, whatever. So it was.
It felt like more, to be honest.
Yeah, no.
We really got a point across, right? We were super loud, and it was great to see a group of Bolton fans come together to support one thing. And I think we're missing that for a while. I think the fact that we've come together as a group and being so supportive of having one view, like that was great to have back in the club. We really got a point across. We were loud. And everything, I think it worked, to be honest. I know we ended up losing that game, which is a shame. But I think the protests were excellent, and they really got a point across. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it went down
and
really
and
well.
It didn't get violent. At least I don't think it did. So
it was just a bit inside the ground. But we always said all along the way, we were just like, we can't really take responsibility for that. I mean, it was just whatever was outside, and you know, once they were inside, you know, sort of everyone was responsible for their own action. So
yeah, of course. I mean, when we were out there as a group, there was no violence. It was just everyone cheering, supporting, chanting, trying to get the point across. And I think I think at the time it was needed, and we did. So good to be there as well and see that happen. There will always be, you know, if you made a Bolton timeline, that would always be a vital point. Like whatever happens in the future, at the low points when we did that protest, it's vital to, you know, the positives that we'll hopefully see in the future. You know what I mean? We had to change, you know.
Yeah, and obviously, like you say, things are changing now, and hopefully it's going to be the start of something great, hopefully. And you know, recently things have started to look up to an extent. Obviously, we've been relegated this week, and then been smashed or whatever. But obviously, the ownership will obviously hope change that starting with next season. Obviously, we've seen the losses continue, and the players still reportedly haven't been paid either. Yeah. Realistically, can you see the club's fortunes changing?
Well, the thing is, the season we went down from the Championship last time to go to League One, I really struggled to see us going straight back up after that.
Yeah.
But this year, we actually have a decent squad. And I think even with our squad right now, we'd actually do okay in the Championship. Like the sort of players that haven't even been playing, like we haven't seen Mark Little, Oz Tumor. These are quality players that I could see doing well at other clubs in the Championship.
Yeah.
But we're not even playing them. Mm. And that's partly because of, the way we've been ran, you know, they've not been getting wages, so they might be, and also the manager. But honestly, these sort of players could be really used in League One to be successful for our club, you know?
Yeah, it just seems like they haven't been implemented particularly in the team, and I'm sure there's a reason for that. You know, I'm sure that they're not just being left out on purpose or whatever, but it's just a question of where they fit in, and if so, whether they're still going to be with us next season.
Yeah.
Or if they are, you know, where we're going to have to change things them to.
There's going to be a lot of change with the players. I mean, you look at the three right backs we have. We have Mark Little, Olkowski and Brockbank, and who's been playing the last two games? Brockbank,
he's great.
So it just makes you think that those two right backs are probably going to be heading off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's going to be sad to see them go, because I thought they might be good in League One, but I think Brockbank is actually he's a bit of a talent. So.
Yeah, he is. He's great, and Muscat got a few minutes as well on Monday. So I don't know if you went to. Did you go to Blackburn?
No, I didn't make Blackburn. That was I couldn't make that, but I was at the game on Friday.
Oh yeah, Villa.
Yeah, so that game, I got to see Brock Bank, and I thought he was pretty good. So
good stuff. Yeah.
But I did watch the Blackburn game, and I thought actually we started off quite well.
Yeah, we seemed to do all right, and then all of a sudden, you know, we sort of withheld the same feeling that as soon as the first goal goes in, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, the thing is that, I mean, you look at their goals, one of them was a bit lucky, and you just think, right, if the luck had gone our way, then the players would have been more motivated to kick on and get a result, but we were playing good football and then they scored a goal. Do you know what I mean? It's a real shame. And obviously from that moment, we were crap, I'll admit that, but...
I should have heard it. Just that the fans had just given up, I think, and it was.
I know
it started to get a bit. Yeah,
really good that day.
Yeah, no, it was a great day out, and I think the support's something that can't be tested at all. You know, the loyal as anything, especially away from home.
How many did Blackburn bring to Bolton?
I can't tell you actually. I don't think it was that many more. I think it was somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000, something like that. I could be wrong, but. Obviously, they're in much better position than us.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They've got some of the best talents in the championship. I mean, it's players like Bradley Dack, right, and Danny Graham, and these sort of players that are really good. And then they've got, you know, they're decent financially and they're doing well in the championship. Yet we still brought, and we were very loud at their ground. They cannot have a go at us about attendances.
No, you know, not at all. Yeah, you can't blame us for it at all, can you? And although it's sad to see, it's, I don't know what else anyone can expect, really. So,
yeah, that's it, really. Yeah,
just hope that things can change. And obviously, providing we get a good start next season as well, especially with having the clean slate, providing we don't go into administration, which I think is 99% sure it's not going to happen.
It should be all right. Point deduction as well.
Yeah, it should be able to kick on, and providing we get a decent start, you know, with the first few games, and
that's what happened. That's what helped last time.
Yeah,
you know, it was getting that good run at the beginning, and then just keeping it up. Yeah. Right? I know this season you can't really look at it. We went on a great run to start with and then it crumbled.
I know, it seemed weird how we started so well and then all of a sudden it was just a massive decline. But...
Well, the players were probably getting paid on time at the start and there was probably not as many financial problems. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah,
it doesn't help with having all that, and hopefully next year we don't have to think about that sort of problem. So, it's just one of those things. And I think there's, you know, League One away days are really fun, and I literally did a poll, and like I was thinking back in the last few years, what's my favourite away out? You know, Southend away when we scored a late winner, Fleetwood away when we won 4-2, Lafondre scored that cross. But I'll always call it a shot. those sort of away days, right? Yeah. That we're going to relive next year.
Definitely.
And I just cannot wait. Oxford United, when Josh Vella became Messi and won it for us for the team. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's another player that we haven't seen this year, and I hope we can next year if he's not off to another team. I'd love to see him play. I think he's good enough in League One, and if he's got the right morale, right system, he could be a really good player, you know?
Yeah, we've debated that endlessly, I think, on the podcast, talking about Villa's role, and just wondered what your sort of take on it was. Obviously not being featured too much this year, his contract's up as well, whether or not he'll be on his way, or whether you think he can stick it out. I think by the sounds of it, you think he could stay on and do a job.
To be honest, right, he's literally got no match fitness.
Mm.
He's in a position where clubs will not be looking at him because he hasn't played barely all year.
Yeah.
He's obviously been at Bolton all this time, so would he even want to move? You know, we saw it last summer where he was like linked with Derby, but he never went. I think he'd probably want to stay because he's always played for Bolton. And if he's promised game time, which is obviously something that he wants, then he would probably stay over going to another club around, you know, another League One club if they did offer. But I think with him, right, it's difficult. I don't know right now if his head's in the game.
No.
And he is a good player on his day, but we don't know. There's been rumours about him having a bad attitude, and, you know, we sometimes see him going on Twitter, going on rants, just replying to fans. And I think, I just think, right, it's not the right attitude to take. I think he needs to just literally just try and work and get his chance in the first team, because I've seen him play, and on his day, he can be really good for us. He's had some really good games. I remember a game against Leeds he once had that was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
On his prime, he can be class. He just needs to have the right mentality and just accept that he can't get into the first team right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you summed it up brilliantly there, just in the point that, you know, perhaps his head's not in it and he needs to get back focused. And, you know, if he is going to stay on, then he needs to work at it and show us what he can do.
I mean, it kind of, it's not as it's not as big as this, but it kind of reminds me of Rodwell with Sunderland when he just kind of he's a great player, right? Mm. I mean, it's different with the wages and stuff, but it's more the fact that he's not playing, and right now we haven't seen much of him, and he's still quality though. That's the thing. But the difference is he's not on, obviously not on as big a wage, and if he's willing to take a cut next year, then I'd love to see him in the first team. Love to see him play. I think, I mean, we see Rodwell now playing well for Blackburn, and it just shows like these sort of, I think Josh Vella has the quality to be in our first team. I'd rather see other players go like Jason Lowe and Luke Murphy, who just I don't think they're good enough, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, and I think that there will be massive changes, like we said previously, ahead of the next season. Hopefully, we've got the money to change that as well.
Yeah,
admittedly, it won't be much, but you know, to bring some new faces in and get a fresh crack at the whip at sport, so to speak, will hopefully be a sign of things to come.
It would be great, and I think in recent games we've lacked some actual leaders in our team. It just looks a bit. I think David Wheat is a good leader, but who else in our team is really going to, you know, have a shout at the players, you know? And I think that's what we lack. But I think Josh Vella, being a Bolton fan, being a Bolton player that's never been at another club, I think he could be a man who would help that. And I think he did help it last time we were in League One. So that's another reason I'd like to see him there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I hope in general that it would just be more exciting to go and watch Bolton next season, you know, just more enjoyable to an extent anyway. But like you said, you know, to get some away days and the atmosphere back at the grounds, because just recently it's been dreadful. So.
No, it's not been great, but I think that can all change after a good run at the start of the season and get some new faces in. Do you think Parky should stay?
I was of the opinion that I was thinking that he shouldn't, like, more towards Christmas time. I think more recently it's sort of been more obvious that it is time for a change.
Yeah.
And that we could just deal with a completely fresh start. And you know, I can appreciate the job that Phil's done, but to an extent, you know, the football that he's playing at the minute is not ideal, and I don't think that'll change too much next season. So to get a fresh face in, I think it'd be ideal. But
really?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, what's it? I don't know. What's it with his contract? Does it end this summer or?
I'm not sure, but I think it's likely for something to change this summer if that is the case.
Yeah.
But, okay. Yeah.
If that is the case, I know Bassini said, I read it somewhere, that he's going to sit down with Parkinson soon and talk about the future, about whether he's the right man or not. I don't know if that means he's going to give him a new contract or he won't, and just tell him that he's not going to be here for the future plans. But I think personally, I think Phil Parkinson is a very good manager for a League One club. He knows how to get a team that has a good quality standing for League One and get them results and get them wins. I know his style of football is not great, but he will get wins, and you will play some all right football like we did in League One at times, you know?
Yeah.
And when you start, when everything's going well with him, it's you really can't fault him. Like, when you're getting wins and you're doing well like we did that year, you can't problem. The only thing that I worry about having Phil Parkinson is he's seen so much negativity over the last couple of years. He's seen so many losses. His record is really poor. Mm. Will he be able to turn it round? Because when he had that year in League One, he'd just come in. He was a new face.
Yeah.
And everyone was, you know, no one had any, no fans didn't have any conclusions about him. But right now, a lot of fans want him to go. A lot of fans want him out because, and do you think he'll be able to handle that and still get results in League One again? I don't know. No. And I'm really, right now, I'm down the middle. I'm 50-50 whether I want Parky to stay because he did do a job last time, or get a new face in and play some mindset football, you know?
Yeah, I think it's doubtful, but it's just seeing where we go next season and how we go about changing things, because at the minute, obviously, it's not ideal, and I can appreciate how well he's handled all the off-the-field stuff and all the negativity he's seen this season. But I wouldn't blame him for looking to change his job, really, you know, even if it was sort of a mutual agreement or whatever. It just, you know, I think everyone sort of half appreciates that, but is sort of more now of the opinion that it's sort of time to call it a day almost. So
he has done a great job for this club, and he will always be remembered. What he did with a really weak squad last year to survive and also get promoted in their first year in League One was amazing. You've got to remember, it took Sheffield United 5 years in League One with good teams every year to get promoted, and it took Bolton one after having a really bad season in Championship. And I think a massive part in that was Phil Parkinson. So even if he leaves, you know, after, and even if it is his last two games at this club coming up, right, he will always be remembered bringing us back and keeping us in the Championship with the worst team in the Championship. You know what I mean? On paper.
I think it'll just be a case of time will tell, to be honest, and just see if that was a fluke or how influential Parky actually was. Or whether or not it's possible for sort of any manager at that level to do so, but we'll see, I guess.
Time will tell.
Like I said, I'm hoping that it'll just be a little bit more enjoyable next season at the very least. But just sort of reverting to what we were saying about all things Bolton and what we can expect to think as a taste of things to come, we're obviously agreed collectively to work together with the Supporters Trust and hopefully make a better future for the club or somewhat affect it. Obviously, you've given your backing, and we've sort of exclusively and privately spoken about organising a podcast to sort of develop our you know, feelings on that and where we're going to go with that. And sort of as the younger demographic that they were on about with that being a severe lack of, and I'm hoping that we can prove otherwise and that our numbers collectively suggest otherwise. And you know, we're obviously hoping that we can help make a better future for the club.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great for all the fan accounts, all the social media accounts over Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the accounts, forums, you know, to work together and the following that we all have together to show how powerful it would be and help the club bounce back in a more positive mindset. It would be great. Seriously, you know, recently it's not helped the fact with everything that's been going on with the ownership and things like that financially. But in the future, with everything, with hopefully, if we're going to be more stable, hopefully we can use our social media to help make it more positive around the club. And, you know, together we can really help. And obviously this podcast would be great to get all our social media accounts together, just working together and get, you know, I think it'd be really good to have that. And hopefully it does happen, you know.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great thing to see where it can go. And obviously with everyone's support, then it can be a big thing and help rebuild us as a club.
Would really help.
But that's it for my questions. I was just going to go to Twitter because I had put out a quick thing, just wondered if you wanted to retweet it to get a couple more responses dead quickly.
Should I
can. I mean, I'll talk through the ones that we've got so far. Just a couple of the ones that aren't on things that we couldn't necessarily speak on on the podcast, but we've got one which is fairly reasonable from Roy at Bartons. He sort of said, you know, how long did it take you to realise that Ken was a bad one, or why did it take you so long?
The thing is, right, I knew he was going to be pretty bad as soon as, you know, there started to be financial problems and stuff like that, right? But it's just like, you never know, like, hopefully you'd hope that maybe he could, you know, pay the wages and get it back to the club. But I only put out the tweets, you know, when it comes to the protests. I just didn't want to make a judgment too early because I just didn't know if he was going to be able to pay, you know, the wages. I know once he said that he can pay the wages, but he eventually paid it. But when it came around to the protests, I thought it was really important to get behind the club get behind the club and hopefully we can change the ownership, because I knew by that time it was vital to, you know, support it. And making the videos and the tweets, it was just good to get it out there and help. But I didn't post it on social media as quicker as some other social media accounts have called, but I did know that there was going to be some problems. But it's just one of those things, really,
because I know you've done a couple of explanation videos on the matter, and you know, it's good to just hear your honest opinion on it, really. Just having a look at it. Obviously we've spoken just a little bit earlier on Bassini, got a couple of different sort of questions on him. One from Felix Shortland, who says, how much longer will the fans give Bassini before they realise it's a total fake who has bequeathed to buy Anderson to complete his destruction of the club? I'm not sure about whether it is a fake or whether... Well, I mean, obviously he's been dealt a bad hand by Anderson, hasn't he, really? But at the end of the day, he's agreed to take it on, so
he's going to take on the challenge. And whether he's in here to prove other people wrong in the community, or he's actually here to actually back the club and get it bounced back to where it was before. If he can do the job and pay the wages, pay the staff, then, you know, I've got no problems with him. I know he's got a bad track history, but if he can turn this club around and we can be financially stable, then I'll be happy. You know what I mean? And time will tell. That's it.
It's just up to him to prove that, I think. So let's just get the whole thing over the line and then see where we are in 12 months' time. I'm hoping that we're not back in the same situation. But, and we'll go through a couple of others. Again, just general thoughts on Bassini. We have sort of spoken on that. Just having a look. Foreigner said, will you get verified on Twitter or Instagram? Slightly unrelated question, but go for it.
Will I get verified? On Instagram or Twitter? Which one first?
Well, he just said, will you get verified?
I don't know. I haven't. I know you're verified on Twitter.
Yeah, I think you can request it or whatever, but it's...
I need to request it. I've always... My friends have actually said the same, like, why don't you request it? I haven't done it yet, but I will soon, so...
You need to, because otherwise you'd be in danger of having fake accounts made about you.
I know. if that helps me get verified, then maybe I have to get that done, I don't know. No, I'm verified on YouTube because the agency that works for me helped me to do that. Yeah, there's this Russian like Facebook platform called VK, which is like mental. Like, I've got quite a few followers on there. It's weird because ever since the Russia World Cup, I'm actually verified on there as well. But Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I need to apply. I'll get that done. Okay. Who asked the question?
Farn.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm gonna get that done. They've reminded me. Okay.
Good stuff. We'll go through a couple of others. Were you a bit caught on May the 8th?
How did you do it? I don't actually know how to. I mean, I've never been to court before.
I just turned up.
Really?
I don't think there's any photography or video in there or anything like that, but you can wash your outside. But it's just a case of literally just turning up, finding out which court you're at, and then you can just sort of sit in the session and just report sort of, handwritten or on phone or anything like that. But
Could be interesting.
Yeah, you can just turn up, I think.
That's your job, you know. I don't want to be...
yeah.
No, I guess. Views off you guys, but
yeah, no, it has sort of been a line of the anything in the past, I guess, but it is publicly open. I think obviously, TalkSport turned up last time and so on.
Yeah.
So
it's very interesting that. Yeah, yeah. I'll see if I can, because where is the court?
I think it's towards Chancery Lane. It's down sort of not quite East End of London, but more Central London, just to the east of it. But,
I'll see if I can get that done then. I might as well.
Yeah.
Go. But I won't be taking any of the social media views off you guys.
I'll see
your tweets, but I'm prepared to have my own judgment and see what's going on.
Good stuff. But
I
don't know if you've got exams or anything. I think it's just a midweek on a Wednesday.
I do have A-levels, but if I don't have it on the day and I've got some time, then I'll definitely try and make it, you know?
All right, nice one. Tom, who also writes for Line of Vienna, I think it's a bit of a joke. Sarcastic. When he's gone, he's more of a twat. You all will. I'll take that one.
I'll take that one.
Yeah. No, good man. But yeah, that's sort of all the ones that I think we can air pretty much. it just sort of leads to say thanks very much for joining us today, Theo. It's been really great to have a chat with you about all things Bolton, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon to do this collaborative one as well.
When that gets organised. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah, no problem.
It's great to have this chance. I hope you get Stuart Holden on here soon as well.
Yeah, we're hoping to do that. So, you know, if you can drop him a message and help us out with that one, that'd be great.
But he doesn't follow me, but I'll definitely tweet at him. And actually, he does. I once messaged him on Instagram.
Yeah.
And you know, once you reply to someone, they come up on their recents.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'll try and message him on Instagram because he might see. He'll definitely see it. So
yeah,
go on, I'll see what I can do with that.
Any help we can get is great.
It'd be incredible to hear what he thought at the club, you know, when he was there, and the injury and everything like that. Be interesting.
Yeah, of course. I'll let you have this opportunity to plug yourself a little bit.
Oh, what a guy. If you want to follow me on any social medias, it's just at Thogden. That's it, really. I'm just pleased you've given me this opportunity to come on here and give me my
thoughts. No problem, mate. It's great to hear your thoughts and sort of give you a fair crack at the whip and sort of answer your critics, answer your fans and stuff like that. So it's
great.
It'd be great.
I'm just hoping next year, right, we can hopefully have a more positive, a League One tour, you know?
Yeah.
Like what Barnsley are having this year, you know, something like that. You know, they've got a similar amount of points, similar amount of wins as what we did when we went down. And hopefully we could do something like that, come straight back up with a stronger youth team. And hopefully Luke O'Connell will get that extension. Who knows?
Yeah, good stuff. Let's hope for it. So, yeah, you can find me at WI1LG on Twitter, and you can find all our ramblings on the Line of the NST website and on Twitter. And feel free to leave us a review on iTunes on the podcast as well. 5 stars and nothing less. And if there's nothing else left to say, Theo, then it's time to say goodbye. Say goodbye, Theo.
Top lad, mate. Thank you for having me on, and see you later.
Cheers. And it's goodbye from me, Set La Vie.